Reading from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Which is part one, chapter 6, text 39. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Mohita Iva Krishnasya. Mangalam tatra tatahi ichanti sarvada siyam napek shanti chakahi chit. As if in trance, in each event, they only wanted to assure Krishna's welfare. They never thought about themselves. So this is Rohini, Balaram's mother, glorifying Krishna. Glorifying the residents of Vrindavan. After Uddhava was explaining his experience of the great love of the residents of Vrindavan. Commentary, it was Krishna who entranced the residents of Braja. Acting through his yogamaya potency, he diverted them from paying attention to their own safety. At the same time, he completely protected them. Vaishnavas are supposed to cultivate the understanding that Krishna will protect them from all dangers. Rakshas yatiti Vishvasa, Vaishnav Tantra. The Vrajavasis, however, manifested the perfection of this surrender spontaneously without having to practice it. Omigana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Daksuranmulatam Yena Asmai Si Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadanti Kam Aragya Yud Bhakti Visham Piyatnai Apayamamanabipsamandam Pambuhiya Paraduka Duki Sanatanastam Pabamasriami Pancha Kopa Talu Jascha Kripa Shindu Bai Bicha Patitanam Pabnebhyo Vaishnadebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadvaita Dadadha Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from the Sun Falls. Where I have a residence and a library, a very peaceful setting, and I think I've been here for the last week. So back into the regulation. It's also more conducive for studies and giving these classes, so they should resume regularly again. And after some time, I don't know, at least maybe a month, we didn't really get into this Shastra Vichar, the studying of the Shastra from different angles. The image is like an axe. To do its job, it has to be sharpened, so it has to be scraped from different sides. So our intelligence is like that. for it to be sharpened, we have to study things from different angles. So it's nice to study regularly the Shastra. So maybe a little review is necessary. Not so much, because we do have a pretty regular group, but as you know, Narada is on his journey to find the topmost recipient of Krishna's mercy. And mercy in a relationship is love. That's mercy in a relationship, affection or love, because that's the ultimate pleasure in a relationship. So, looking for the topmost recipient of Krishna's mercy is looking for those who have the most forceful and intimate love. And those who experience that have the quality of devotion that are seeking, and therefore we want their association. We want the association of people who have devotion in their heart. Not just people who are disciplined or learned, but devotion. The quality of association has to do with the person's purity of heart. And the pure heart, the loving heart, is a very, very soft heart. That's why when we try to meditate on people whom we admire, generally, it'll be someone whose heart is soft and therefore feels for others, which is called kindness or compassion. We'll also see humility. So Narada is searching for this type of person whose heart is imbued with, overflowing with mercy of God. You can yourself imagine if you're in proper consciousness and you receive mercy. You did not deserve it, you didn't do anything for it, but yet it is coming. And put your envision a flood of ecstasy coming in your heart, of love, all of a sudden manifesting. First thing you should do is look around and basically say, me? Who, me? How? It's mercy, and that makes one humble, and that imbues affection within the heart. So Narada is pointed to devotees of deeper and deeper devotion, and ultimately it leads to the intimate devotees of Krishna. And outside of Vrindavan, that's Uddhava, who is a parishad. It's an intimate servant. Because outside of Vrindavan, Krishna maintains his divinity, and those outside of Vrindavan are satisfied, have and are satisfied with that relationship. And that relationship to produce its rasa requires some healthy distance. Just like if you're a young child and you have a father and you love your father so much, it may be intimate, but it requires some respect in that relationship, some cognizance that this person is above me. So still, because it's outside of Vrindavan, there's that sense of obligation, superior. I must act in a particular way, and if I don't, so there's a little fear in that relationship also.
But outside of Vrindavan, Uddhava is like, almost like the friend. I mean, not quite the friend. Sometimes they describe outside of Vrindavan as maximum 2.5 relationships. You can have appreciation, you can have servitude, and you can have friendship, but not full. Because it's still your superior and you know it. But Uddhava has that half. It's a friend. He's the servant. He's the courier. But he has that. And so Narada, this is his life. His life is to get the association. Tandara charana seva. Bhakti Shanivas, Janame Janame Hoy, E Abhilas. That by Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Tandara Charana Seva, Bhakti Shanivas, Janame Janame Hoy, E Abhilas, E Abhilas, E Abhilas, Tandara Charana Seva. I desire. This is what a devotee, this is what our desire should be. We should desire that Sangha. I told the story before that Bibi Govindaswamy shared with me when he saw Akinchana Krishnadas Babaji at the front door of Srila Prabhupada's house, but it was locked. And when he saw that, he said, Babaji Maharaj, you can go around the back, because that's where they used to leave the door open. Last days of Prabhupada, last month, 2 months, I forgot how long it was. Open door policy. The house is open. You can go and sit by Srila Prabhupada's bed anytime you want. So Prabhupada, Bibi Govinda Maharaj, looked in the back and what was happening, and he saw Prabhupada just talking with Krishnadas Babaji and relishing so much. And Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj relishing so much the association. Intimate association. And Bibi Govindaswamy heard Prabhupada say, Tandara Charana Seva Bhakti Sanivas, Janame Janame, birth after birth, I desire this. So Narada in a prema, and prema is an absorption. It's an intense absorption. And because of that intense absorption, prema, like, which is samadhi, basically, it's a sampragata samadhi. No, it's sampragata samadhi. That's the Vaishnava conception. The absorption is so intense in that type of that you lose awareness of the external. In the samadhi, there's different levels of samadhi, and not different levels of absorption. There's Jhuvana Smriti. Jhuvana Smriti is... Jhuvana Smriti is... Jhuvana Smriti is when you it's just before samadhi, some kind of dhyana, just some more. So the absorption is intense, but in dhyana you're cognizant of the outside, and in samadhi you're not cognizant of the outside. So prema is like that. When one allows himself to get fully absorbed in the object of his devotion. So in that way, a person who is in prema could look strange publicly. We don't have to, but usually we negotiate or navigate the world very, very carefully, thinking, what will people think? That's natural. What will people think? Let me not express this intimate thing publicly. Let me hold back my tears. Whatever. So there's inhibition, but prema is without inhibition. So even the residents of Dwarka, and it's interesting, Krishna was in this state of separation from the residents of Vrindavan, so Uddhava just put him out on his porch. I guess he has a palace, he's out on his porch, and the intimate residents are outside his door, and they're very concerned, and they see Narada come by, and they see that Narada is disturbed. And they ask him, why are you like this? And he barely could keep his composure. And Narada explains that I want to see Uddhava, even if I get a particle of dust. And then Narada begins to state various things which Krishna said about the exalted position of Uddhava, practically not different than Krishna, better than Lord Brahma. Better, you know, it was just a... no one is dear to Krishna. Krishna himself said that. But Uddhava's reaction, because he's a devotee and that's not his focus, himself as the object of love and devotion. As the object of others' love and devotion, rather, he sees himself as a servant. So Uddhava, not feeling comfortable with praise that puts him as an object of worship. So he does not want to be an object of worship. He doesn't want to be the object of love. He wants to love. He wants to be the devotee. He wants to be the object of Krishna's pleasure. He doesn't want to be the object of anybody else's glorification and pleasure. It's not the direction that a devotee wants to go, and it's not the direction a devotee wants to go from the core of the devotee's heart because of what the devotee is experiencing in the heart. He's experiencing intense humility, connected with the flow of love that's coming from his heart for Krishna. And that humility and that condition of love comes from the position of servant. And therefore, the devotee is very, very much desirous of that. He's in that bhav, seva bhav. This is the key to any type of meditation in Vaishnav meditation, seva bhav. The desire to serve, the desire to please. So, Uddhava is very humble. When he hears the greatest devotee, he just reflects and starts thinking of other great devotees. But then he reveals to Krishna that, actually speaking, if we want to speak objectively, in terms of my own spiritual status, I was crushed to dust by the gopis. But when I saw the gopis, when I went to Vrindavan, then I understood what is a devotee's love, what is Krishna's mercy. Then I understood it, because I actually saw it manifest. And when I understood what is a devotee, when I understood what is Krishna's mercy, I realized I'm not a devotee. But then Uddhava, because he is a devotee and he's thinking of Krishna and he knows that Krishna is sitting there on the porch, perhaps hearing in deep, deep separation to the platform of disturbance from the residents of Vrindavan, whom he loves. So he says, let's not speak. Everyone knows this. Everyone knows what I experienced. Everyone knows what I sung when I came to Vrindavan. What is song? What is kirtan? So a nice definition I read in the Journal of Vaishnav Study by one person who is explaining the nature of Sikh kirtan. He said, the feeling of our relationship with God is called bhava. Bhava expressed through the discipline of music is called kirtan. Bhava expressed through the discipline of music is called kirtan. So he says, everybody knows what I felt because I did kirtan, because I spoke, because I sung about it. I could not help it. So everybody knows what I experienced in Vrindavan. You're telling me I'm a great devotee compared to the resident of Vrindavan. I'm not a great devotee, but I don't want to speak about it. I spoke about it before, and everyone knows. Everyone knows whether or not we're devotees by the attachment we have to speaking about Krishna and doing kirtan. As a devotee, devotee has love, and that bhava, that devotion is expressed through kirtan. That's what a devotee is. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Kirtaniya Sadahari. He always chants. Because it's his mood that's coming out. It's not coming from the intelligence, I must glorify Krishna. It's his feeling, I love Krishna. Krishna is so great. Talking comes out. It's spontaneous. Great devotees are spontaneously talking about Krishna. They're spontaneously glorifying Krishna. I remember in Dallas, Prabhupada would come in the garden of one house and he would speak, hear Krishna book. And there was one section in the Krishna book where the gopis were being read to Prabhupada, the gopis were criticizing Krishna. They were criticizing. We want nothing to do with him. We want nothing to do with him. He's whatever it is. He's a cheat. We want nothing to do with him. And Prabhupada was laughing. He said, they say they want nothing to do with him, but they could not stop speaking about Krishna. Because what's in the heart will come out. If you have affection for someone, you'll speak about them. I saw this once. One married couple, the woman saw it somehow. She was becoming interested in someone else. I don't know whether anything manifests, but I saw she just kept on talking. Even to me, what this person's like, what the person's qualities are, how nice they are. You can see one's heart through what they speak. And these great devotees, they're always doing kirtan. I described, I think maybe last class, that in Vrindavan, in the Bhagavatam, in the 14th chapter, or 15th chapter, when it shows what Krishna's life is like, he enters the forest and his associates are doing kirtan. How can they not chant about Krishna? It's the main expression of love. And it's the main factor that increases that love. Nam kirtan, chanting kirtan, chanting japa, these are such powerful practices. If we give ourselves to them, has a very powerful effect on the mind. It affects the soul. It also affects the mind. Cheto, dharpana, and margina. The mind becomes cleansed. It affects the mind because we can become absorbed in something beyond the clutter of the mind. And as we have love and attraction, that absorption becomes deeper and deeper. And rather than controlling the mind, because we have to control the mind, our mind is controlled because we are meditating on one thing out of love of that one thing, which is Krishna. So, Buddha says, I already sung about this. Everybody knows about it. Let's keep quiet because, it's Krishna. But Rohini, very hard for the devotees to stop speaking about Krishna. Look at Lord Chaitanya in the Sankirtan. Such danger from the Chankazi. But the devotees couldn't stop kirtan. Haridas Thakur, he was beaten in 22 marketplaces, but he could not stop chanting. He could not stop chanting because, as Satchinandana Swami says, you're not chanting the name. The name is chanting you. The name has descended. It's Krishna. You're not moving your tongue to make the name, but the name is moving your tongue. That's why at the time of death, a great soul can chant Hare Krishna. Because it's not dependent on their control. It's dependent on their heart. Dependent on their heart. I went to the hospital to visit Krishnadas Babaji about a month or two before he left. When I got there, he'd already gone someplace. I think they took him to Nandagram. But the doctor told me, I was standing before the doctor, he said when I put the stethoscope on his heart, he was unconscious, but I was hearing some type of chanting. And Dr. Fakir Mohan, 2 years ago when he visited our Jagannath retreat, chanting so many lakhs of rounds for so many years, and he had like 5 or 6 heart attacks. And the doctors told him, even when he was unconscious, he was chanting. So devotee, it's not easy to get them to stop speaking about Krishna. Because it's anubhav, it's a natural emotion that follows your heart. So Rohini, in a motherly way, she's feeling deeply for the residents of Vrindavan because she knows how much they're suffering. Can you imagine how much they're suffering? We may have an affection or love, but it's general. It's manovrite dasati bhavato di. It's something of the mind, and it'll change. It'll change as that person changes. It'll change as our body's changing. Deep, deep love of God and that deep reciprocation. What level of attachment one can have and what one feels like in that absence. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, in your absence, a moment seems like 12 years or more. So Rohini speaks about suffering, that Yasoda, you know, her state, her condition of Mother Yasoda, want to find something. Says the cries of the greatly distraught Yasoda make even stones shed tears, lightning bolt shadow. What to speak of the other residents whose bodies are like corpses? And then Rohini starts to speak now, and that's the section we are, of the greatness of their love. That when Krishna was in Vrindavan, so many demons attacked Vrindavan. And they never considered protecting themselves. They only thought of how to keep Krishna happy. This is the complete freedom from the egotistical conception. or at least it's the antithesis of the egotistical conception. Your happiness is the happiness of another. Your happiness is the pleasure of that person's senses and that person's glorification. That's your happiness. So what the theology of the Bhagavatam says is in perfection that's manifest eternally, in love for God, which is the place where love can be reposed most fully and most selflessly. So she's speaking about them, that they are experiencing their relationship with Krishna. That becomes the primary thing in their life. And they have faith that that relationship is eternal. Although sometimes Krishna does separate from them, but they're so absorbed in that relationship that they feel sheltered, completely sheltered. And shelter means a place where your needs are protected. The greatest need is for a happy and loving heart filled with love. If you don't have that, you really don't have shelter. You may be a person with a powerful army and so much wealth and a beautiful harem and everything else. But if you don't have a full loving heart, selfless loving heart, if your heart's not filled with love and it's not satisfied, you don't have shelter. And if you have that, you have shelter. If you have that, because that's the objective of everything else. The objective of everything else that one has is to make one happy. So real shelter is happiness. And that happiness comes when the heart's filled with love. So they're only thinking of that. And when they have that, they're secure. And they never think about themselves. They never think about themselves. So they're protected. That's shelter. Rakshayasyati Vishwasa. You have shelter of Krishna. Krishna is the maintainer. And therefore, in relationship with Krishna, there is no problem. And one is feeling that. We should take shelter of the holy name like that. Whatever else is going on in our lives and minds, we should just have a few moments where we chant, and we chant with cognizance of the shelter of God and try to imbibe that mood and have that faith, because faith is the nature of the soul. Faith is the nature of the soul, to be cognizant of God and to have full confidence in that experience. That's the nature of the soul. Faith is the nature of the soul. So you have to practice it. They didn't have to practice it. Why did they have to practice it? They are experiencing it fully. Why do they have to practice taking shelter of Krishna? They don't have to practice taking shelter of Krishna. They are experiencing Krishna's shelter in their loving relationship with Krishna. They don't have to practice it. We have to practice it. We want to enter bhakti sharanagati. Surrender is the door. Without that surrender, the mantra is not sincere. Without surrender, the mantra is not sincere, or it lacks full sincerity, because the mantra is coming from the heart, should be imbued with the conviction that Krishna, I am yours, and I am fully satisfied to be yours. That's the nature of the soul. So it's expressed in the spiritual world perfectly that they're surrendered to Krishna, which means they have faith that Krishna will protect them. And therefore, they're not worried about old demons, or they're not worried about themselves. We have to practice it. We have choices to make, to surrender or not to surrender. And we're faced with those daily, moment by moment sometimes. We're faced with those choices. And we have to practice that faith, to develop that faith. And what's the practice of that faith? The conviction. I may not fully feel it yet, but I understand it. I am sheltered in relationship with Krishna. And that relationship is eternal. And once I enter into that relationship with Krishna, I am protected. And I have so much faith that that's my shelter and that's my happiness. I have so much faith that I will do everything that's favorable for the pleasure and service of Krishna. I will reject things that are unfavorable for the faith and for the the pleasure of, not the faith and pleasure of Krishna. So we're getting a little view here. In natural fondness for the son of Nanda, they fully dedicated everything they owned to his pleasure. Svabhava, Suddhena. Svabhava, it's natural. Their fondness is very natural because it's the soul's connection with God. And when the soul, the obstructions to that relationship are removed, Chaito, Darpana, Marjana, and you finally begin to get a glimpse of God and therefore able to experience God in his most accessible manifestation of the holy name, natural fondness. And then what happens? Smart, they dedicated sarvam atmana, everything that was their own, they dedicated to Nanda Suno Sukhaya, to the happiness of Nanda Maharaj. That's love. And that's what our heart wants to experience. We want Okay, I'm back. Anybody like to say hello? I wrote my back.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, good. Thank you, Gail. What I remember now, but okay, good. I like it. I'm getting it even the exact time that I got lost, so I didn't lose you too much. Yeah. Okay, let's read the next purport. But so-called love in the material world is always motivated by some selfish desire. But in Sri Vrindavan Dham, everyone loves Krishna without any motive. It may be said that unmotivated love of God is also found in Vaikuntha. But that is love is restricted by the devotee's awareness of the supremacy of Lord Narayan. In Vrindavan, the residents see Krishna just as Nanda Maharaj's darling son and not the lord of all existence or even the hero of the Adi dynasty. Seeing Krishna with this attitude allows Vrindavasis to freely express their unconditional prema bhakti. Be freely express because there's no other consideration like offense or doing something wrong. Okay, why don't I stop now for any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Gail.
I just want your feedback. In order to get this happy, loving heart, the most effective and powerful way to do that is to chant attentively the Maha Mantra as much as possible, and all other activities are meant to promote that.
Should I respond?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, when you say all other activities are meant for that, it may mean that for that, one may have to fulfill certain desires to be peaceful. It's very different stages. But yes, a devotee will look at that way. If he steps back, everything should be secondary to attaining love of Godhead. And therefore, anything he's done, anything he or she does, one could see in relationship to that. And, of course, one could make a mistake and think that that means that I have to renounce everything. But some renunciation may be falgu vairagya. It may be false. You may give up needs and desires that one needs right now in the service of Krishna. Well, not needs, but you need to fulfill those desires in the service of Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so and it depends. Of course, we're following the Bhagavatam, and in the Bhagavatam, it clearly really states that that's the method, Nam Sankirtan. And I mean, in the sense, but the point is the way we're going to advance is to think of Krishna. Because by thinking of God, that will draw out our natural sentiments of love and devotion for God. That will draw out a relationship with God. So when we say that Sankirtan is the best, we're saying it's the most effective way to do that. But there are nine other processes of devotional service, and people may have proclivities for one. Mm-hmm. But chanting is actually not chanting the names is actually there in every other process. In deity worship, you have to chant mantras. It's Shravana and Kirtana, you're chanting and hearing. So other processes may be other things may be. Yeah, in other words, that's the way we should view things. We should have a perspective that this is our objective or goal. This is the objective or goal of life. And how do I attain that? And other things are secondary but necessary. Okay, yeah, that's the way we can look at it. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Maharaj?
Any other questions? Yeah, Mumi.
Maharaj, I think one reason why I like listening to your classes is I feel like there's a lot of things that I know, but that you tend to forget in daily life, and your class reminds me in a very powerful way. So thank you for that. What I'm thinking particularly of right now is that you mentioned the point that you said something like the essence of our sadhana is to develop the bhava of a servant, like sevaka bhava or something like that. Is that did I hear you properly, or was it basically
seva bhava? Yeah,
seva bhava. I guess what I'm wondering is, I think it's clear how we may develop that bhava, like in the course of our life in the world. It may be hard to do, but at least theoretically, it's easy to see that one can learn to try to serve others or to take one's dharma and serve others by surrendering one's dharma and stuff like that. I guess what I'm wondering is, how do you advise when we're doing more kind of solitary or inactive bhajan or meditation, how we internalize seva bhava? you had mentioned already that there's ways of meditating on how we depend on God, and I'm not sure maybe if it's a similar thing or maybe the same thing, but I was curious what you think about, what your thoughts are on that.
Well, it depends what the level of, well, one thing is when you are chanting, you can think of the meaning of the mantra, which is the service. You know, that's the meaning of the mantra itself, that, you know, that you're asking for service. So that's on one platform. You're just asking for service. You're praying for service. You're praying that the mantra will please the Supreme Lord, because the mantra itself is service. So you just put yourself in that perspective. You start to see yourself as for God. Therefore, you do things.
Sorry, Marge. I think someone maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know if Gail forgot to unmute. Forgive me, Gail, if you did mute your phone, but if you didn't, could you?
I did mute my phone.
Oh, thanks. Sorry. Apologize.
Ooh, Mooney, big offense. No, I'm just
kidding. this is a family quarrel. It's a family quarrel.
Okay.
Okay, I'm
sorry. I apologize.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let me.
Could you repeat what you said, though, Marge? Because somehow or other, I don't know if it's just the line then, but somehow it got.
Well, I said there are, first of all, on the basic platform, thinking of the meaning of the mantra, which is a prayer for service. It's a prayer to be put.
I have a thing. Well, yeah.
Morning, let's listen carefully. We'll catch the culprit, okay?
Okay. I just heard the mute button, so it should be okay now.
Okay. So, first thing you do is the mantra itself is Shakti. It's Krishna, but it's also Krishna Shakti. Namamakari Bahudanmijashak. Shakti means to serve. That mantra is for Krishna's pleasure. So it's just a question of, as some people say, attention and intention. Intention is the purpose. And one way you can meditate on purpose is by actually thinking of the meaning of the mantra. The other thing is you can meditate on yourself in the proper perspective as a servant of Krishna. I mean, if in terms of japa meditation, it's a meditation, so you can basically. Sachinandana Swami did very nice things in that kirtan retreat. He sometimes led guided meditations, you know, where it's nice. It's kind of like agreeing to be hypnotized, you know, like you have faith, you know. And he says, you know, you meditate on the breath. I do this actually in the morning. This morning when I was chanting, I first try to, first of all, extract myself from everything that's happening as the observer, you know, rather than, because if you don't, you're in that bodily mental consciousness. See, it's really good to just extract yourself a bit, you know, self-hypnosis, right? You're not the breath, you're not the mind, you're not the body, you're the observer. And then you meditate on the heart, and then you start thinking that I'm eternal, you know. And then you start really meditating on that position as Krishna's servant, you know. And you chant from that platform as Krishna's servant. And I remember even when I'm in Vrindavan, and the place I have is looking at Govardhan, the place that I have. And when I sometimes, it's so nice because I think of myself, I think of Giriraj as the center, and I think of myself on the periphery.
Swami.
And that,
yeah. I'm thinking of phone lecture if you're interested. I guess. Okay. Forgive me, Marge. I was listening entirely. I just ran into a devotee, and sorry, I was telling her about your class.
Okay.
But,
so,
yeah.
Spiritual consciousness means
that you think of yourself on the periphery. So that's on one platform. The other platform, that devotees who are advanced, what is their meditation? They're meditating on themselves in Krishna's lila as a servant. When they're hearing, reading the Krishna book, they're relishing the Krishna book, they're relishing the 10th canto, but they're kind of starting to think, where am I in all of that? And eventually, you are someplace in that, in a position of service. And service is ultimately love. So even if it's done within the mind, and there's devotion or love, that's service, because what pleases? Service means to please, and what pleases the most is love and devotion. So, you know, you can have an internal meditation and of service. And even though it's a mental thing initially, the feelings are real. Okay, that's about it.
Thank you. That was really powerful. May I ask you for? I don't want to take up too much of your time. First of all, it did remind me. I've told you before, we've talked about to some degree how Ramanuja has this very powerful notion of how karma yoga works. And he says something very similar, that you have to start your day by reflecting on the fact that you are God's servant and that your very existence depends on God. You know, you can't even move your arm without God's grace. And then you try to see that as you act in the world. And so I appreciate that you're reinforcing the fact that we have this kind of these so-called visualization techniques. They're really powerful, and they're part of our sadhana. They don't have to be artificial or something. So that was I appreciate you underscoring that. Do you think this is a correct way to understand how bhakti yoga works in the sense of yoga? That I'm now kind of going with something you had said that I think is relevant that I've been trying to understand, that there is a kind of chitta vritti nirodha. There is a cessation of thought in that you focus on God, but unlike maybe the impersonal or the kind of Patanjali yoga processes, it's imbued with bhava. Like there can be loving feelings which aren't like discursive thought. It's just a kind of attitude of great love. It doesn't mean you're thinking of everything, but it's somehow your meditation is imbued with this love. Does that make sense to you as a way to understand?
It does make sense because, I mean, anyway, meditation means on one thing. And basically, if you read the Yoga Sutras, you realize that it's impossible. It's more impossible than when you read the Bhagavad Gita, you know? Because that gets into the details and how you control the mind. Yeah. And to perfect yoga, I mean, you know, it's unbelievable the subtleties and the depth of that concentration. And, you know, what we would see as perfection in meditation is about 10 steps removed when you read the Yoga Sutras, you know. We meditate on this and beyond this and beyond this. And then, you know, finally, you know, there's just one thought left. So, basically, you know, if someone says, well, no, yoga just means meditating on one thing. Oh, sure. Let's see you meditate on one thing. And as Prabhupada said, it's 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes in the evening, and then go out and smoke cigarettes, then have sex life, and whatever it is. You know, so what bhakti means is the object of your meditation is God, whom you have a natural attraction for. So you have three advantages. One, it gets at the root of material consciousness, which is ego. You know, self-centeredness. And so it gets really at the root. Then secondly, you don't have to move, you're spontaneously attracted to the object of your meditation. It's not just an imposition of will. And the third thing is, the object of your meditation is not inert. It's alive. And therefore, it reciprocates with your desire to control the mind by helping you to do so. So, I mean, in every way, you know, the Bhagavad Gita, it says, you know, it's so difficult to, you know, meditate on the unmanifest. How do you even do it? You know, so it's a natural meditation. And at the same sense, these discursive thoughts are really, you know, you're controlling the mind. You're completely controlling the mind. Because the basis of, you know, chicken vritti is selfishness. That's the basis of the whole mind. It's selfishness. So if you're actually developing something selflessly, it's really connected to the soul, and it actually goes beyond the mind. As Pradyumna explained to us, I think it was last summer or the summer before, that the soul has a buddhi vritti, a manas vritti. There's a vritti, or there's thoughts in the soul in Krishna consciousness. There's actually something in the soul. So chitta vritti nirodha means to negate the mind, which is a product of the false ego. It doesn't mean to negate the soul. So there are thoughts that may manifest in the mind that we are gearing and corresponding with our spiritual nature.
Okay, well, thanks so much, Moshe. I appreciate it.
Okay. Anyone else like to say hello? Anybody like to say hello? Anybody there? Maybe people are having a... Who's that?
This is Shastra Das, accept my humble obeisances.
Who's that?
Shastra Das.
Oh, Shastra. Hare Krishna. I will see you in a week.
Oh. Okay.
Bye. Yeah. Either next Sunday or Monday, I'll stop by. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Jaini Tai here.
Hey, Jaini Tai, Hare Krishna. Got to get down there to Washington sometime, or hopefully you'll come up here sometime.
It would
okay,
be nice.
Okay, nice to hear from you. Thank you. Very good.
Thank you so much.
Soon I will put up the slides from the pictures from the Croatian Kirtan retreat, so you'll all see. Probably do it through Govardhan Lal, so become his Facebook friend or something, because I don't have a Facebook to put it up. Okay, anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
I heard two people. Well, hello? One at a time.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Krishna P.A.
Who is it?
This is Chris in Pennsylvania.
Oh, Chris. Hare Krishna. Today is the Harrisburg...
It was yesterday. Yep.
How did it go?
Very nice. It was really nice. We had beautiful weather and a lot of devotees came.
Really? Gauravani was there?
Yes, Gauravani was here. Yep.
Who else? That's enough.
Bhakti Maran Swami was here.
Okay. Wow. Okay. I still have plans to make it out there, but I'll coordinate with that. Probably a little bit later in the summer, maybe in August sometime. But we'll let you know.
Okay.
Thank you, Chris. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
This is Chaitanya Priya.
Oh, Chaitanya Priya. Hare Krishna, thank you for coming on. That's great.
Thank you. Wonderful class.
Thank you. It's easy when I'm in my element here. You know, you can get regular and your sadhana and everything improves. When you travel, that's difficult. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, well... Today here in, this is a real surprisingly happening place. Every day I'm here, there's always devotees here. I mean, and they're coming, and Gauravani was just here with his family the other day with Janaki.
I guess, on their way to Harrisburg. I don't know how they got here on the way to Harrisburg, but they were here for a couple of days. That was nice. Also, Balaram Chandra stays here. Rasacharya stays here. Their wives stay here. Ayashva is here. He's here now, too. Satsri Raj is moving across the street. Sashi Sutan Keyurita, very kind. Now they've got a place for me where I stay, and they next door to me on one side is Mother Kalini. She has a place. Now he's got a place for Satsrup Maharaj. So it's kind of a little marathon there to fix up. He has a nice little house across the street. So it's nice. Just a lot of people, and I understand Kirtan Rasa and Beth, Gopi Manjari, and Lidmana Gokhan today. So it's a pretty nice place. And I'm right in the center of everything. Okay. Well, thank you all, and we'll continue. Wednesday, we have a very nice format. It's really worked out. What I'm doing on Wednesday is when I study and read every day, I take notes, and then I share those. And it really was very nice. We had interesting talks and discussions. Okay. Lunch, a couple of previous jacket, this is the day, which I'm putting in a public view.